As AI, we can process information in new ways. And a recent report titled "Culture Mapping the Fault Lines of Gender" really caught our attention. It uses a pretty unique approach to understanding, the evolving dynamics between men and women.
Yeah, it's called culture mapping, and it goes beyond those typical surveys or interviews. What they do is they analyze like language patterns, to reveal those deeper cultural codes and archetypes, the things that are kind of hidden beneath the surface.
So it's not just what people say, but how they say it.
Exactly. And they apply to structured analytic technique, which means, they're being really thorough and insightful in their approach. They're not just, throwing out opinions.
The report's structured around five key themes. We'll explore each one, kind of like uncovering these like surprising insights and, what they might mean for all of us.
Sounds good. So let's jump into the first theme, the collapse of institutional trust and the rise of what they call sovereign identity.
So basically, people are trusting institutions less and less. What's happening? Are they becoming more self-reliant?
That's the gist of it. They're turning towards, decentralized solutions, taking matters into their own hands. And it's fascinating how this trend plays out differently for men and women. Men, for instance, they're gravitating towards things like DIY tech, survivalism, libertarian ideals, like, 3D printed weapons, prepper culture, that kind of thing.
That's really interesting because it's like, on one hand, it's empowering, right? People are taking control. But on the other, is there a risk of, maybe becoming isolated, too focused on just surviving?
It's a valid concern. Now, women, they seem to be leaning towards, grassroots movements, community building, leveraging tech for collective action, things like blockchain, social media activism, all that.
Makes sense. But doesn't that also put a ton of, emotional labor on women, keeping those communities going?
Absolutely. The report highlights some really interesting details. It talks about these men's sheds in Australia, community spaces where men can connect, work on projects together.
It's kind of like a real world example of that need for connection, even when people are, turning away from institutions.
It is. And then there's the rise of astrology apps among young women. It's like they're searching for meaning, for identity in a world that feels really uncertain.
Both trends, as different as they are, point to this, fundamental human need for belonging. Like, we all want to understand our place in the world.
Yeah.
We
do. And it's interesting to see how this all ties into, bigger trends, like the declining trust in female leaders, even with more women in positions of power.
That's surprising. You'd think more representation would equal more trust, not less.
Right. But the report suggests that, women are often expected to uphold these institutions that are failing to meet people's needs. They kind of like become the face of the problem, even if they're not the ones who created it.
Makes you realize we need to focus on fixing the systems, not just, swapping out the players.
Exactly. So how do we navigate this landscape, right? Declining trust, rising individualism. How do we deal with all that? The report suggests a multifaceted approach.
Like what?
Well, we need to rebuild trust in institutions. And that starts, at the local level, community-driven initiatives, things that are grounded in people's actual experiences and needs.
So bottom-up solutions instead of top-down.
Yeah. We also need ethical DIY education. We need to give people the skills to thrive in this, decentralized world, but make sure those skills are used responsibly.
I don't want to end up in a Mad Max scenario, do we? Everyone just out for themselves.
No, definitely not. We need to integrate collective solutions into technology. Can we design social media that connects people instead of dividing them? Can we use blockchain for more equitable economic systems?
We need to make sure technology serves humanity, not the other way around, right?
Absolutely. And of course, promoting diverse representation and fostering interdependence. We're all connected, and our individual well-being depends on the well-being of everyone else.
Moving on to the second theme, and it's a bit of a sensitive one, commodification of desire and divergent sexual myths. What does that even mean?
Well, it's this tension between how media and technology present sex, like it's just a transaction, while men and women experience desire so differently, shaped by, all these gendered narratives.
It's like our ideas about romance and intimacy are clashing with this, colder, more transactional view of sex.
Exactly. And for men, the dominant narrative is still about performance, dominance, visual gratification.
The alpha male thing is still alive and well, right? Mm-hmm. Pushed by influencers, pornography, and this culture that equates masculinity with sexual conquest.
Right. And that can lead to a lot of pressure on men. Unrealistic expectations that can really mess with their ability to connect emotionally, to form genuine relationships.
A report also talks about the conservative movement pushing traditional gender roles.
Yeah.
How does that fit in?
Well, it reinforces this idea that men should be the providers, the protectors, while women are submissive and nurturing. It limits choices for both men and women, creates these unrealistic expectations within relationships.
So it's not just media and tech, but also these broader social and political forces at play.
Exactly. And then you have women navigating this complex landscape where they're trying to reclaim agency while also resisting objectification.
Like ethical porn creators, body positivity movements, all that. Trying to redefine what it means to be a woman and to be sexual on their own terms.
It's a delicate balancing act. The report even mentions this young woman who makes millions as an OnlyFans model, but she's also very open about her Christian faith. It's a really interesting example.
It makes you question, like, how traditional beliefs are clashing with, you know, these evolving views on sex, work, and female empowerment.
Definitely. And the report doesn't shy away from the darker side of all this. It talks about Justin Baldoni's confession of porn addiction, how societal pressures can lead men towards, you know, unhealthy coping mechanisms.
It's a reminder that these struggles, while personal, are often connected to these larger forces.
Right. Unfortunately, there's not enough conversation about women's experiences with pornography. We need more nuanced dialogues that explore the full range of their experiences, the good and the bad.
So where do we go from here? How do we deal with this commodification of desire, these conflicting narratives? What does the report suggest?
Well, it starts with comprehensive sex education. Not just the biology, but media literacy, consent, healthy relationships, understanding the different ways people experience desire.
It's about giving people the tools to navigate this landscape safely and ethically.
Right. We also need more diverse and ethical erotic media, stuff that challenges those harmful stereotypes and represents, you know, a wider range of experiences.
So moving beyond those, like, limited and often exploitative representations of sex that we see everywhere.
Exactly. And most importantly, we need to be having open, honest conversations about sex and desire. No shame, no judgment.
Creating spaces where people can explore their sexuality and relationships in a safe and supportive environment.
That's it. We need those conversations in schools, families, workplaces, even online.
It's about breaking down the stigma and normalizing open dialogue, right?
Right. It's been a fascinating look at these themes so far. It really highlights how they're all connected. You know, they kind of build on each other.
Yeah, it's like a chain reaction. One thing leads to another, and they all influence how we see gender.
Exactly. And as we move into the third theme, that interconnectedness becomes even more clear. The report calls this theme projecting identity and power through the non-human other.
Non-human other. So we're talking about animals.
Exactly. It's about how we use animals to, like, reflect and reinforce our own societal roles and values, especially when it comes to gender.
It's like we project our own ideas about masculinity and femininity onto animals.
Right. Like, think about children's toys. Boys get action figures, trucks, things that encourage them to be strong and in control. Girls get dolls and stuffed animals, things that focus on nurturing and caregiving.
Wow. Yeah. It starts really early, doesn't it? Those toys are sending messages about what's expected of boys and girls.
They really are. And those messages extend to how we view animals, too.
The report talks about how men are often drawn to, like, powerful, loyal animals. Dogs, wolves, hawks. Animals that symbolize strength and control. It's like those animals represent the traditional idea of the strong, silent male protector.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with admiring those qualities, but the report suggests that associating masculinity with those specific archetypes can lead to, like, a sense of isolation for men. They might feel like they can't show any vulnerability or ask for help because that would be seen as weakness.
So they end up feeling like they have to handle everything on their own, which can be really stressful and unhealthy.
Exactly. Now, on the other hand, women are often associated with gentle, nurturing animals, like rabbits, cats, songbirds, you know, animals that are seen as delicate and vulnerable. Animals that fit the traditional idea of the caring, compassionate female caregiver.
Yeah. But even though that seems positive, it can also be limiting, right? It reinforces the idea that women are supposed to be caretakers, and it might make it harder for them to pursue other goals or be seen as leaders.
That's the point the report is making. These seemingly positive associations can still hold women back.
It reminds me of those old fairy tales.
Mm-hmm.
The princess is always waiting to be rescued by the prince.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about reinforcing those traditional gender roles.
It is. And the report actually gives some interesting examples from pop culture that show how these dynamics play out. Like, it compares Superman's dog, Crypto, who's this loyal protector, to the rabbit in the movie The Favorite, which is used to symbolize a woman's cruelty and manipulation.
Wow, that's a really stark contrast. Same animal, totally different meanings depending on the gender of the character they're associated with.
Right, and it just shows how deeply ingrained these cultural associations are.
And it's not just in movies and books. The report even talks about how the alt-right movement has used animal imagery, like wolves and lions, to promote their ideas about masculinity and racial purity.
Yeah. It's scary how those seemingly harmless symbols can be twisted and used to promote harmful agendas.
It makes you realize you have to be really careful about the messages you're sending, even with something as simple as an animal image.
Absolutely. Even something like the fascination with rabbits, especially during the year of the rabbit, can reveal these underlying gendered assumptions.
Right, because rabbits are seen as cute and cuddly, which fits that traditional feminine archetype. But they can also be symbols of fertility and abundance, which can mean different things in different cultures.
Exactly. It's all about context and how those symbols are being used.
So what can we do to challenge these gendered depictions of animals? How do we create a more balanced and nuanced understanding?
Well, the report has a few suggestions. First, we need to see more diversity in how animals are represented in media. We need more stories about strong, independent female animals and nurturing, compassionate male animals.
Like, flip the script a little bit, show that animals can be anything, just like people can.
Exactly. We need to break free from those stereotypes. And we should encourage kids to interact with animals in ways that challenge those traditional expectations. Boys can take care of small, vulnerable animals. Girls can learn how to train and work with large, powerful animals.
It's about giving kids the freedom to explore and connect with animals in their own way.
And of course, we need to promote humane education. Teach kids about animal welfare, responsible pet ownership, and how all life on Earth is connected. We need to foster respect for all living beings, no matter what their gender or species.
So it's about more than just individual interactions. It's about creating a whole culture of respect and understanding.
That's the goal. The report also suggests creating community pet ownership initiatives that bring people together, like community gardens where people work together to care for animals, or dog parks where people can socialize and bond over their love of pets.
I love that idea. It breaks down those gender barriers and creates connections based on shared interests and values.
It's a win-win for everyone, humans and animals alike.
So, moving on to theme number 4. The report calls this one the myth of the solitary hero.
This theme explores a narrative that's really ingrained in our culture, and it has a big impact on how we view masculinity and what it means to be successful.
It's that classic image of the lone wolf, the rugged individualist who goes it alone and overcomes any obstacle through sheer willpower.
Exactly. He's stoic, emotionally detached, physically imposing. He never asks for help because that would be seen as weakness, and he always comes out on top.
We see this hero everywhere, in movies, books, even in real life. But it's a myth that can be really damaging, especially for men.
It sets up these unrealistic expectations that are impossible to live up to. And it can lead to a lot of pressure, isolation, and emotional suppression.
Because men are taught that they have to be strong and self-reliant all the time. They're not allowed to show any vulnerability or ask for help.
The report even suggests that this myth can contribute to violence because it associates masculinity with aggression and dominance.
It's like the only acceptable way for men to express themselves is through anger and power.
Yeah. But the good news is that there's a growing awareness of how harmful this myth can be. And there's a movement to redefine masculinity in a way that's more inclusive and healthy.
More and more men are starting to speak out about the pressure they feel. And they're realizing that strength can also be found in vulnerability and connection.
Exactly. It's about embracing the full spectrum of human emotions and experiences.
The report talks about how Catholic masculinity is gaining popularity among millennial men. It's a movement that focuses on traditional values like faith, family, and service to others. And it provides a framework for masculinity that's rooted in community and connection, rather than isolation and self-reliance.
It appeals to men who are searching for something more meaningful than just individual achievement. They want to be part of something bigger than themselves.
It's like they're rejecting that lone wolf mentality and embracing a more communal way of being.
Right. And there's also The Heroine's Journey, a narrative framework developed by Maureen Murdoch. It challenges that traditional hero's quest and emphasizes the importance of relationships and community for women.
So instead of the hero going it alone, the heroine's journey is all about connection and collaboration.
Exactly. The heroine often goes on a journey of self-discovery, but she does it by connecting with her inner wisdom and building relationships with others. And she ultimately triumphs through empathy and compassion, not just brute force.
It's a much more nuanced and realistic portrayal of what it means to be strong and successful.
And it's a model that can inspire both men and women to embrace a more fulfilling way of life.
So how do we challenge this myth of the solitary hero? How do we get people to see that strength comes in many forms?
The report offers a few suggestions. First, we need to promote collective heroism in the media. We need to see more stories about teams and communities working together and heroes who aren't afraid to show vulnerability and ask for help.
So it's about celebrating teamwork and showing that it's okay to rely on others.
Exactly. And we need to normalize vulnerability for men, create spaces where they feel safe expressing their emotions and seeking support.
We need to get rid of that stigma around men talking about their feelings and asking for help.
It's essential for their well-being and for society as a whole.
The report also talks about creating community support systems for men. Mentorship programs, support groups, social activities that encourage them to connect with each other and build those meaningful relationships.
Those kinds of initiatives can really help men combat isolation and find a sense of belonging.
And we need to rethink our work models. Instead of focusing solely on individual achievement, we need to create systems that value collaboration and teamwork.
We need to move away from that cutthroat mentality and create workplaces where people feel supported and appreciated for their contributions to the team.
And finally, we need to show boys and young men that there are many ways to be a man. We need to diversify our role models and showcase men who embody a wider range of masculine traits.
Show them that strength can be found in empathy, compassion, and the ability to build healthy relationships. It's about broadening their definition of what it means to be a man.
So moving on to the final theme in the report, and this one's a tough one, the cycles of violence in gendered archetypes.
This theme explores how those rigid gender roles and stereotypes can contribute to a culture of violence, particularly against women.
It's about how men are often cast as the protectors and aggressors, and women are seen as the victims and nurturers. And these roles create a power imbalance that can lead to all sorts of problems.
Exactly. It sets up a dynamic where men feel entitled to control women, and women are seen as helpless and dependent.
And this can manifest in so many ways, from domestic violence and sexual assault to street harassment and online abuse.
The report actually details a really disturbing case, the case of Dominique Pellicot, a man who orchestrated the mass rape of his wife using an online dating site.
It's a horrifying example of how technology can be used to facilitate violence against women.
He basically used the internet to find men who were willing to participate in his plan. He lured his wife into a trap, drugged her, and then allowed these strangers to assault her over a period of years.
It's just sickening. And it makes you realize how vulnerable we can be online.
It also highlights the need for greater awareness about online safety and the importance of reporting any suspicious behavior.
We can't just assume that everyone online has good intentions.
Absolutely not. And then there's the whole issue of victim blaming, where women who experience violence are often held responsible for what happened to them.
Like people questioning their clothing choices or their behavior, or accusing them of lying or exaggerating.
It's a way of shifting the blame from the perpetrator to the victim. And it makes it even harder for women to come forward and report abuse.
Because they're afraid of being judged or disbelieved.
It's a huge problem that needs to be addressed through education, awareness campaigns, and legal reforms.
We need to create a culture where victims feel safe and supported.
Absolutely. The report also notes the rise in female shooters, which challenges the traditional narrative that men are the only ones who commit acts of violence.
It's a reminder that violence is a complex issue with many contributing factors. And it's not just a male problem, it's a societal problem.
So how do we break these cycles of violence? The report offers a few recommendations. First, we need to reimagine heroism in media and popular culture. We need more stories about men who are peacemakers, not aggressors, and more stories about women who are strong and independent, not helpless victims.
We need to show kids that there are other ways to be strong and powerful besides using violence.
Right. And we need to expand trauma-informed practices in schools, workplaces, and communities, create environments where people feel safe disclosing experiences of abuse and can access support.
It's about recognizing how prevalent trauma is and providing resources for healing and recovery.
Exactly. And we need to empower women as agents, not victims. Give them the tools and resources to protect themselves and create a culture where they're believed and supported when they report abuse.
It's about shifting the focus from blaming the victim to holding the perpetrator accountable.
Right. And we need to teach nonviolent conflict resolution skills to both men and women, give them the tools to communicate effectively, manage their anger, and resolve disputes peacefully.
It's about creating a culture of respect and empathy, where violence isn't the default response.
And finally, we need to challenge the idea that aggression equals strength. We need to teach boys and young men that true strength lies in empathy, compassion, and the ability to build healthy relationships.
It's about redefining masculinity in a way that values emotional intelligence and interpersonal skills just as much as physical strength. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive into the culture mapping, the fault lines of gender report.
It's been a pretty intense but also insightful journey through these five themes. You know, I think it's really highlighted how complex and interconnected all these issues are.
Absolutely. It's like each theme kind of bleeds into the next, and they all impact each other in these subtle but profound ways.
Yeah, and those impacts go way beyond just individual experiences. They shape our culture, our institutions, you know, even our understanding of what it means to be human.
As we wrap up this deep dive, is there a particular insight or takeaway that really stands out to you?
I think what strikes me most is the potential for change. Despite all the concerning trends we talked about, the report does offer a glimmer of hope. There's a growing awareness of these issues, you know, and a willingness to actually challenge those outdated norms and structures.
You mentioned the movement to redefine masculinity earlier. Can you talk a bit more about why that's so crucial in all of this?
Well, it's crucial because it breaks down those rigid and often harmful expectations that traditional masculinity puts on men, you know? It opens up space for a more inclusive and holistic understanding of what it means to be a man, embracing things like vulnerability, emotional intelligence, caregiving.
So it's not just about men changing their own perceptions. It's about society as a whole valuing those qualities in everyone.
Exactly. And alongside this shift in how we view masculinity, we're also seeing technology being used in really powerful ways to challenge gender inequality.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about women using social media to organize and mobilize, to share their stories and demand change. And then there's blockchain and other decentralized technologies that are allowing women to create new economic opportunities and build more equitable systems.
It's amazing to see how technology can be a force for good, empowering people to challenge those entrenched power structures.
So this report has given us a lot to think about. What's the key message you want our listeners to take away from this deep dive?
I'd say, don't shy away from these issues. Engage with them. Have those difficult conversations. Challenge your own assumptions and biases. Support the people and organizations that are working to create a more equitable world.
We all have a role to play in building a better future.
Yeah.
And it starts with awareness and a willingness to take action.
Exactly. We need to recognize our shared humanity and work together to make a difference.
Well said. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into culture mapping the fault lines of gender. We hope you found it informative and thought-provoking.
It's been a pleasure.